My prayer this morning, Father, is a simple one, that you would give me a heart for your word and a word for our hearts. Amen. Today is a day of transition. It's not your first day of transition. It's not your last day of transition. There are going to be transitions from now until that day we stand before the throne. In fact, in the scripture we read today, it was a transition. Moses had handed off to Joshua, and now Joshua was handing off, well, we don't exactly know to whom he was handing off, which is exactly where we are today. We didn't know who was going to step up and be the next leader of Israel. Now, I want you to think about Joshua for a moment. He was Moses' right-hand man. He had led the army. And then Moses said, hey, everybody, Joshua's the guy. And then Joshua had to convince the people that he was the guy. Now, God helped him out because he took him to this big walled city. You remember the story? You remember the great VeggieTales, right? And they walked around and around, and the French peas yelled at them from the top of the wall, and they sang, keep walking, you won't duck down our wall. Keep walking, it isn't going to fall. Do anybody remember this song? It's strange to see, your brains are very small. So keep walking to be knocking down our wall, right? And the people had come to an understanding with Joshua that God was with them. Now, I find it sort of amusing that the people had to come to this because they just come out of the wilderness where their clothing had not worn out, where they had 3 square meals a day of manna, manicotti, manna burgers, manna omelets, you know, right? Three square meals a day of manna for 40 years. We get tired of the same box of cereal for a week. And they got tired of, right? But they had been fed. They had the rock that some scholars believe actually followed them through the desert. They had quail. God had cared for them. And if that wasn't enough, there was a big, huge pillar of fire at night and a big, huge cloud, a pillar of cloud during the day. Of all the people in all time, these are the people that should have had the strongest belief in the hand of Yahweh God Almighty. He had fed them, clothed them, led them, protected them, and brought them to the promised land. Now, Joshua's job is to cross the Jordan to take them into the promised land. And here the choices begin again. To the right, to the left. How do we get this wall down? And Joshua had to make choices on behalf of the people. So, have you thought about choices? CNN did a report last year. They did it with Leicester University in the UK. And they said the average person makes 35,000 decisions a day. Wow is the right answer. Yes, 35,000 decisions a day. Cornell said, we can do better. Let's see how many decisions people make about food in a day. And I don't know how they came up with this number. It's 226.7. Just about food. Now, some of you are going, really? And some of us are going, yeah, what do you want for dinner? I don't know. What do you want for dinner? Do you want Chinese? No. Do you want Italian? No. Do you want seafood? No. Raise your hand if you've had this discussion at least once this week. There you go. Okay, well, let's do it the other way. What don't you want for dinner? And we'll narrow it down the other way. Then once you pick the place, do you want a cheesesteak? Do you want a pizza steak? Do you want a cheesesteak hoagie? Right. Then you've got to make the decisions based on the place you pick. I think 226 is a reasonable estimate for the amount of decisions just about food. So then, I never heard of this before, but while I was doing my research, they have the 37% rule. Has anybody heard of this? I hadn't. It says you should spend 37% of the time making a decision gathering information. Okay. Now I'm thinking, really? How am I going to measure 37% of the time I make in any decision? But then it says, I wrote it down, 37% of your decision-making time gathering, and then take the path or decision that is better than anything you've seen before. So you gather all the information, and then you make the best decision. Who knows? Look how many, well, I did that already. Then, if you haven't made enough decisions after you go through the dinner, then you have to do Netflix. What do you want to watch on Netflix? And you're clicking down. Do you want action romance? No. Do you want a thriller? No. Do you want fantasy? No. Oh, where's that list? We actually keep a list of movies we've talked about that one of us hasn't seen. Vicky gets out the list. Oh, I don't want to watch that one today. Right? Decisions, decisions, decisions. Then the interesting question becomes, how many of those decisions are based on your relationship with God? Now, let's be honest. God does not care if you have cornflakes for breakfast or Cheerios. But do you stop before you make the decision and thank the God who gave you the cornflakes and the Cheerios? Now, I don't know about you. There's about three different ways to get to work from my house. And I usually pick one. I'll be honest. I don't always say, Lord, pick me the best way. But sometimes when I'm going, I realize that God put me on that route because there's a reason to pray along that way. Or I made Vicky drive one of the ways last fall because there was this absolutely glorious tree. The entire tree had turned golden yellow. It was gorgeous. I said, Vicky, you have to drive. But God gives us gifts us with things all the time. And we need to be paying attention. But back to decision, it reminds me of the young pastor, and you've heard this story before, who was very excited because he was going to have a Wednesday night Bible study, and he had given the whole church a survey. He was brand new, and he gave him a survey, and 50 people said, we need to have a Wednesday night Bible study. And the wise deacon came in and said, Pastor, I see you're pretty excited about the Bible study. He goes, yes, I am. He says, we need to re-give that survey. The next survey said how many people would come to a Wednesday night Bible study, and the answer was only 7. Well, you know the history of Israel. As soon as a leader or a prophet or a judge would pass away, the Bible says it almost the same way every time, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Without quality leadership, people fall away from the decisions that... If you heard, they all rose up together in the passage. Joshua said, choose this day. And the people said, yay, we choose. And not 2 chapters later, they're going to be crying because the Philistines have invaded. Today we call it voting with your feet. I don't know if you know that. It's what pastors call it. If you have a Bible study and nobody comes, they voted with their feet. Or a worship service or a barbecue or a something. In fact, people today vote with their feet and their checkbook and their date book. But this is not a sermon on guilt and shame for neglecting fellowship. This is a call to give, create, schedule, share, provide opportunities for people to serve and to hear about Jesus. Now, Joshua asked his people to provide service in 2 ways, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. Sincerity and faithfulness. Now, when I was in seminary, we were taught this was a fact, what I'm going to tell you. And now, 30-plus years later, they're not so sure it's a fact. So we're going to put it in the good story category. But the word sincerity, we were taught, comes from the Latin, sino sere. And it means without wax. Well, that should make, thank you, that's exactly the face you should make. Because none of us have marble pillars at our house. But the Romans did. And in the winter, the water would get in the cracks and then it would freeze and the pillars would get little chips in it. And there were 2 ways to fix it. One was to grind up marble paste, match the color, and pretty much cement it in and mold it to the new column. That would last forever. The other way to do it was to get beeswax. Roll it up until it was smooth, match the color, mold it in. The beeswax would harden. It would look just like it was brand new until July. And then went up to 90 degrees, and then you would have this little beeswax melting down your column. So they would say to the repairman, are you going to do it sincerely, without wax? Well, that works for us in two ways. How are you filling the holes of your life is a decision. And how are you helping other people mend their broken lives? Are you doing it, Joshua says, sincerely? The other thing he talks about is faithfulness. And I want you to hear that faithfulness, well, let me put it this way. The thing in which I am most faithful, other than Jesus and Vicky, is my car. I want you to think about this. When you get up in the morning and you go out and you put the key in and you turn it, you expect that car to be faithful. Vroom. And if it's not, whoosh, the anger comes, maybe the bad words, maybe you kick the tires, right? That is the one thing that I think almost everybody in the room depends on almost as much as their spouse and their Savior is their car. And I made a list because, you know, I like to make lists. I expect my refrigerator to keep things cold. I expect my air conditioner to keep my house cool. Vicky expects the heater to keep the house warm. I expect my credit union to keep my money safe. I expect my dishwasher to get the dishes done. And we trust all of these things and we get annoyed when they don't work. However, if you were God's appliance meant to evangelize and build the kingdom, would he consider you a trustworthy appliance? Now, I didn't know how to name, I didn't want to name the sermon, "Are You a Trustworthy Appliance?" The sermon is called, "The Choices You Make, Make You." But this is the brunt of the sermon. The choices we make, make us. The choices we make our church. The choices we make our community and our state and our country and our world. And you may have heard this. There's a story told about a church that had four people in it. They were named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. It goes like this. There was an important job to be done, and everyone was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry because it was everybody's job, and everybody thought that anybody could do it. Nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. And it ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Have you seen things like that happen in your house? Just think about the trash falling over and everybody goes over and pushes it down one more time. Well, sometimes there are tasks that need to be done in the kingdom of God. And that story is reality for the church today. Joshua says, are you sincere? And are you faithful? And part of that means that I'm not going to fill the holes of my life with idols, anything that pulls me away from God. Think about this. God chose his people. God chose the Jews first and then asked them to choose him back. The Bible says God chose us first. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So Joshua asks God's chosen people, choose this day whom you will serve. And through history, we have the same question, maybe edited a little bit for today's sermon. But the question is, are the choices you make making you? Or in the night, in the fourth Indiana Jones movie, where he says, choose wisely. Right? As we come to the Lord's table, search your heart. Ask the Holy Spirit to direct your choices. Recommit to be a sincere, faithful follower of the living Christ. Amen.